Let me encourage you, if you have a Bible, turn to Matthew in chapter 6, please. Matthew in chapter 6.
Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
I mentioned earlier that due to the Big Garden Watch, I've had these kind of verses in my mind all week. That God takes care of the birds of the air, therefore God will take care of us. And hence that's why I want to share from this particular passage this morning. There's a story told of a man who was watching a TV program late at night, when to his surprise, a mouse ran across the room right before his very eyes. He was shocked and decided he must immediately take action. He went to his garage and he found a mouse trap, and he went to the fridge to find some cheese. But there was no cheese in the fridge. It had all been eaten. Now, being a bright spark, he decided, I know what I'll do. He picked up one of his wife's magazines, and it was a cooking magazine, and he found a picture of a piece of cheese. It was in colour, so he cut it out and he put it on the mousetrap. He went to bed. Now, the next morning when he got up, you're not going to believe this, but he found there a picture of a mouse in a trap. Now, the moral of the story is this. If you want to catch the real thing, you must put out the real thing. And if you want to help people not to worry, you need to say something that is real, something that is doable, workable, practical. And that's exactly what Jesus does for us in these verses. Because all people at some time will experience worry. And the things that worry you will not worry me, and vice versa. We worry over different things in life. But worry is a common experience to all of us, whether we like to admit it or not. The Greek word that's used in the Bible for worry means to be divided or distracted. You know what that's like. You're trying to focus on one particular thing, but your mind keeps getting sidetracked to another. That's the meaning of the word, to be divided or distracted. And no matter how hard you try to go back to your clear mind, you are constantly diverted to focus on what you don't want to. Our English word has a very different meaning. It comes from an Anglo-Saxon word which means harm. Harm. And that derives from the English word wolf. To worry is to harm yourself. It's like a wolf. A wolf likes to cause anxiety to a field full of sheep as it stalks its prey. And of course, if it can, it will grab hold of a sheep and it will chew it and mangle it and cause it death, distress and even death. And worry is so often like that. It haunts us. It comes amongst us and it can even destroy a person. It robs us of the peace that Christ wants for us to have. Now, in these verses, Jesus does not give a suggestion. Well, if you've got problems with worry, why don't you try this? It's not a good idea. It's not a suggestion. It is a command. Do not worry. And in the original Greek text, it's far stronger than it is in the English text. A command from someone in authority, like a sergeant major tells his privates, this is your order, obey it. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, do not worry. Now, our little section from verse 25 onwards starts with the word therefore. And so it's linked to what Jesus has said from verse 19 onwards. And in the previous section, Jesus has been talking about having a wrong attitude towards possessions and towards money. And the point Jesus makes is this. It is not wrong to possess things, but it is always wrong if things possess us. It's not wrong to possess things, have nice homes, have cars, have luxury items, have money in the bank, money in our pockets. It's not wrong to have things, but it is always wrong when those things possess us. And we certainly should never be living just to acquire more. So verse 22 and 23, Jesus says, do not base your lives around the acquisition of earthly treasures. He says, if you keep your eyes focused on the things of God, your body will be full of light. But if your eyes are focused on the things of the world, your body will be full of darkness. I wonder how many of you as parents said to your children, or your parents said it to you, if you watch too much TV, you'll end up with square eyes. My folks said it to me, and I've said it to my kids over the years. You'll end up with square eyes. Now, I've watched TV all my life, and my eyes are still round. But what they're saying, of course, is that what you gaze upon affects you. And if you spend too much time on the TV, then you won't enjoy the other things of life that are around you. And Jesus is saying the same. Don't just focus on the things of the world, what you haven't got and what other people have got, at the expense of that which is more important. In fact, in verse 25, he actually says, do not worry about your life. And then he gives us some reasons why not. First of all, he says, worry is unreasonable. Verse 25. Worry is irrational because worry always keeps you from enjoying what you've got. Look at what Jesus says. I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Now, every person watching or listening to this talk has already been given two very valuable treasures, more important than anything else. God has given you life and God has given you a body. I wonder this morning when you woke up, did you say, thank you, Lord, for another day? Did you actually look in the mirror and then go, instead of going, did you actually say, Lord, thank you for this incredible body? Now, since God has given you the most important thing, he's given you another day of existence and a body in which to make the most of that existence, how unreasonable it is to worry about lesser stuff like food and clothing. Now, the world in which we live in wants us to worry about food and clothing. Every time you see an advert today on the television, or in a magazine, a newspaper, or on a website, it is telling you that what you have is not enough. You've got that car, you need to drive this car. You buy that type of food, what you really need is this type of food. You use that washing up liquid, you could use this type of washing up liquid. It's always telling us to be dissatisfied with what we've got in life and to want something more. And when we want something more, we lose appreciation for what God has already given us. So we get distracted and then we worry over what we don't have and we forget what we do have. Jesus said, look, life is more than these things. Make the most of what you have. Stop worrying and enjoy what you have. So worry is unreasonable. Secondly, Jesus said, worry is unnecessary. Verse 26. It's disheartening. It makes you forget your worth. And in this little verse, verse 26, Jesus gives an illustration why worrying is undermining. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Now, I mentioned I've got a bird cam, and I've been looking at my birds in the garden for a couple of weeks now, and I find them enriching to my daily program, especially during lockdown. One thing I've noticed is this: no bird ever tries to build a bigger nest to outdo its neighbour. No bird's concerned with putting an extension on their nest because they want to get one up on the fellow birds in the garden. They're not worried about the size of the nest. They're just worried about the functionality of their nest. No fox ever frets because they only have one hole in which to hide. No squirrel ever died of anxiety because it only stored up enough nuts for 1 year and not for 2 years. No dog ever lost any sleep over the fact he didn't bury enough bones in the garden. Now, Jesus reminds us that if animals aren't worried, why are we? And we are far more valuable to God than any animal. And the point he's making here is simple. If God looks after and values the small creatures, surely he will look after and value the greater creature, which is you and I. You know, at Christmas time, if your parents buy a present for the next door neighbour's child, then as their own child, you can almost guarantee you're going to get a present. If they give to the lesser, then surely they will give to the greater. And that's what Jesus is saying in this verse. If God provides for the lesser creatures, the birds of the air, will he not provide for you, his children? Thirdly, he says, worry is unproductive. It's uncreative. In fact, it is completely useless. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? It's useless. It doesn't work. It's unproductive. Don't do it. Worry's a bit like sitting in a rocking chair. I don't know if you've got a rocking chair. When we got married, one of our wedding presents was a rocking chair. Sadly, when we moved to this house, we had to get rid of it because we didn't have anywhere for it. But a rocking chair is great fun. You can actually go backwards and forwards and you expend a lot of energy, but actually you don't move forward. You don't make any progress. You use a lot of energy. It can be hard work to go nowhere fast. And worry is a bit like a rocking chair. It doesn't actually help. I did come across these statistics on one particular website. It said 40% of all people worry about things that never come to pass. 30% of us worry about past decisions that cannot be changed. 12% of people focus on criticism from others who spoke because they felt inferior. 10% of our worries are related to our health, which gets worse when we worry. And 8% of our worries could be described as legitimate, a cause for concern. Now, isn't that remarkable? Fewer than one problem in every 10, according to the experts, that we worry about is a real concern. And all the other things we can actually eliminate. Not only will worrying not add anything to our lives, But according to the experts, it shortens our lives. If you have a heart condition, it can be increased because of worry. You can have digestive problems because of worry. So worry actually makes our symptoms worse, not better. It is totally unproductive. And then fourthly, Jesus said worry is undermining. It's actually illogical, because worry always erases the promises of God. And in this verse, Jesus gives an illustration of why worry is unreasonable. You of little faith. Verse 31. So do not worrying, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? One New Testament writer, Leon Morris, put it this way. Since God takes good care of the lower orders of creation, God will certainly take care of the crown of his creation. And worry always replaces the promises of God. God has promised to supply all our needs, not our greeds, our needs. He has promised us daily bread, not strawberries and ice cream. So he won't give us all we want, but he will give us what we need. And there's a huge difference between the two. Surely he can take care of our lesser needs. If we can trust him for salvation for the whole of eternity, surely we can trust him now in this limited life. And if we can't trust him daily now, can we be sure we can trust him for the whole of eternity? And then fifthly, I'm going to say worry is actually unchristian. Verse 32, it is unchristian. Not only is worry unreasonable, undermining, unproductive, unnecessary, it is unchristian. Look what Jesus says. For the pagans, the heathen, the non-believers, they run after all these things. What things? Well, verse 31 tells us what we eat, drink and wear. You know, people in the world who don't know Christ ought to worry about what they eat, drink and wear, because that's all they've got in this life. They don't have the Lord and they don't have assurance for the life to come. So they better make the most of what they eat, drink and wear. That's all they've got. But you and I are different. And we're not to worry about those things because we have something greater. And Jesus said, see the difference? You are different. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. To worry is actually atheism in action. It's acting as if there is no God. I better worry over this problem because if I can't solve it, no one will. It's atheism in action. That's what a non-believer would do. But as Christians, we say, no, I will pray about it. I will involve God in the situation. Of course, we will be concerned. Of course, we will be anxious. That's human nature. But we need to ask God to help us in those times of anxiety, in those times of worry, to keep on trusting that we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us. There was a little poem in it, although it's a little bit twee, it does make the point. And the poem's by Elizabeth Cheney, and part of it goes like this. I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be. They have no Heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Because we have a Heavenly Father, our reaction to worry and to the situations of life has to be different from those who have no Heavenly Father. Now, what's the cure for worry? Well, Jesus actually says two things in verse 33 and 34. But seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things, what we eat, what we drink, what we wear, will be given to you as well. So the first thing Jesus says is stop living for possessions and money and things and start living for God. Verse 33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. We need to get our priorities right, don't we? Otherwise, we will never be free of anxiety and worry. His kingdom needs to be first, not ours. His desires need to be paramount, not ours. If the needs of heaven are number one, our earthly needs will automatically fall into place. Jesus didn't say, all these things will be taken from you. That's what the world says. Become a Christian and you can't do this and you don't do that and you lose out in life. Jesus said the very opposite. Trust in God and all that you need will be given to you. So it's a case of getting our priorities right. Can we put God first in our lives? Dare we trust him? And as we trust him, he will not fail. He's a heavenly Father who cares about us. And then secondly and finally, Jesus says, stop living for tomorrow and enjoy today. Stop living for tomorrow and enjoy today. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I don't know how many of you have vitamins at the start of each day. You get to a certain age when you feel you ought to take them. Or maybe you're diagnosed for a vitamin tablet. You know, if God gave us a bottle of tablets each day and on the label, it would just have one word, simplicity. And on each pill, it would simply say simplicity. Enjoy today. Don't panic. Don't worry over tomorrow. Lord J. Arthur Rank was the founder of the Rank organization. It was him who kind of put into place what used to be the Odeon chain of cinemas. Not quite sure if they still exist, but as a kid and a teenager, I would often go to the Odeon cinema in my hometown once a week. And Lord Arthur Rank was a staunch Methodist. And he decided that he would do all his worrying on just one day of the week. And he chose to do it on Wednesdays. And he had a simple plan. On his desk, he had a box. He called it his worry box. Apologies from that. It's the phone goes when you don't want it. Normally, I put it in a different room and I forgot to do it today. Hopefully, they'll give up. Lord Arthur Rank was a staunch Methodist and he decided to do all his worrying on one day of the week. He chose Wednesdays. And if anything happened, he would write it on a bit of paper, pop it in that box and not look at it or not think about it until Wednesday. And when Wednesday came, he would open up the box and look at all the things that were troubling him in his life and in his business. And he discovered that the majority of those things had solved themselves over that 6-day period. And he only had a small percentage of things to sort out. He learnt to live for each day and not to worry and be consumed by those worries. Now, how about us? Yes, we are human. Yes, the tendency is to worry. Yes, the tendency is to be independent and try and sort it out in our own strength. But Jesus said that is pointless. You cannot do it. The secret, seek first his kingdom. Put God first in your life. Make your faith real. Trust him day by day and he will make a difference. Let's pray. Lord, your word says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your request to God and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to hand over to you in prayer the things that worry us. Lord, provide us with and help us to experience your peace of heart and peace of mind. Lord, help us to trust you and take care of the worries in our lives. And help us to hold on to that fact that our God can and will meet all our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.